Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
that. Listen to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
Canva.
Yetis, in sports as in business, if you look good, you feel good and you'll play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Tuesday, September 17th, and we are bringing a salted, medium rare
T-bone.
What are you thinking of?
Not T-bone.
Yep.
Plant-based T-Boy.
This is the best Snacks Daily we have ever done. Jack, what's going on with markets?
Well, markets sank.
No, not
they
the best.
Broke their 8-day winning streak because of oil prices.
Exactly.
Oil surged by 15% yesterday.
We're going to cover that story. You're getting ahead of yourself there.
We're actually going to tell you, though, why you don't need to worry about the oil price surge.
And that is our first story. Second story, what do we got?
Netflix is spending over $500 million for 9 seasons of reruns.
We're talking reruns of the best kind.
Seinfeld
yada,
reruns.
Yada, yada, yada.
This is a big story and a big move for Netflix.
And it says a lot about the seller, Sony.
Third and final story is Amazon. Its secretive A9 department just made a tweak to the Amazon search algorithm.
This is good for profits.
Potentially bad for Amazon customers.
And they just took down the website that describes what A9 does.
Yeah, they were embarrassed by this story that the Wall Street Journal scooped.
It's juicy.
So we're going to make sure that you hear about that story.
Extra juicy. Now, before we jump into all that, we got to talk about the new Monopoly board game that's happening.
Yes, Monopoly, the famous board game where you try to corner the market.
Yeah, make fun of people.
A new version just came out called Ms. Monopoly.
Jack worked on that pronunciation for a good 5 minutes before this.
Now, it's made by Hasbro,
legendary
board gaming company based in
lovely Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Right near Providence. Great part of the
now,
country.
Now, before we talk about Ms. Monopoly, let's talk about the 1,100 different versions of the Monopoly board game that have been made over time.
I feel like we could have asked that as a, can you guys guess it? Because that is a keeper for trivia night, that kind of a question.
Yes. Put that one in your back pocket.
What else we got here? They've got one on Cleveland.
There's a Cleveland version of Monopoly. There's a poodle version of Monopoly for the poodle lovers.
There's a Smurfs version of Monopoly.
There's a 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta version of Monopoly.
And then I feel like this is low effort and like low hanging fruit, but they're doing like a 20th, 30th, 40th, 50th, 60th versions of anniversaries of Monopoly.
I have a professor at the Ross School of Business at Michigan who has like 600 of these versions of Monopoly.
By the way, Ben and Jerry's Monopoly?
Yes.
Not a thing. Vermont monopoly?
Yes.
Shockingly not a thing. Ohio has like six cities that got their own monopolies.
We have some anti-dairy people at the monopoly.
New York State, by the way, spoiled 12 of them.
Let's get back to Ms. Monopoly. It's the first of those 1,100 versions that actually changes the rules. Here's how it goes.
Men get paid $1,500 when they start. Women start out with $1,900.
And when women pass go, they get $240 instead of the $200 that men get.
And you're not investing in real estate. You're investing in female entrepreneurs.
Here's the deal. They're reversing the gender discrimination that typically happens in the business
and
world.
And we jumped in snack style. Notice that Hasbro's doing the same thing on their own board.
Yes, it has five female board members out of 13. Now, it still has some way to go. You
Very
should be
true.
Parity on that.
But how does that compare to the rest of the S&P 500?
It's double the average 22% of women who hold board memberships in the S&P 500.
Hasbro, we like what you're doing. We love Rhode Island. We want to play. You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC. For our first story, the price of oil surged by its biggest amount since 2009 because Saudi Arabia got attacked. But Jack, should we really care about this?
Well, there were missiles and explosions involved. So there's a lot to be concerned about.
A lot of fireworks.
But we're going to put this story in perspective, like markets and business.
And the way to put it in perspective is you got to look at the stocks involved and you got to look at the core numbers.
Let's go back to what happened on Saturday and Sunday.
Exactly.
There were attacks on Saudi Arabian oil fields and Saudi Arabia had to shut down half of its oil production.
Now, you associate Saudi Arabia with oil, but where does it sit on like the top 10 charts over here?
Number two.
By the way, biggest oil producer in the world?
The United States.
Shocking, but it's true. Recent development. So now, Saudi Arabia is number two.
Yes, and half of its oil was offline. So that created a supply shock to the world oil market.
And that meant that there was less oil available for companies to use.
And that meant there was probably a shortage somewhere where people were expecting their oil delivery and didn't get it.
And when there's a shortage, there's more demand, and that means that the prices ended up surging.
So 15% jump in a barrel of oil. That is the biggest ever jump in one day.
So what happened here on the ground is that rebels in Yemen, where there's a civil war, took credit for the attack. They used drones for it. But it turns out there may be more behind this.
Yeah, U.S. intelligence officials think Iran was behind this attack.
And Saudi officials say it was Iranian weapons that were involved in the attack.
Right, that was a lot of geopolitical breakdown right there.
But let's see which stocks were actually affected by it.
Okay, first, airlines and cruise lines, they went down because they buy a lot of oil and it was 15% more expensive yesterday.
Energy companies ended up going up because they sell a lot of oil to all those companies Jack just mentioned.
And it's 15% more expensive yesterday.
And overall, stocks in the United States went down.
Because the American economy still runs on oil. Tesla's working on it.
Just like Bostonians run on Dunkin'. So Snackers, we looked into the numbers a little bit further, and that's why we realized this is less of a big deal than a 15% jump in oil would make you think.
Yes, we told you we were going to provide perspective. So here's perspective number one.
Dose of it, what do we got?
The outage for oil in Saudi Arabia, it's actually going to be really short. One third of the lost production already got back online last night.
They got the guys with like the wrenches and the other things.
They got to work
to getting the stuff back. An incredibly quick response.
And Saudi officials believe the rest of the production that was damaged by the attacks will be back online within days.
Second key number here is 6%. 6% of oil production in the world was cut off because of yesterday's incident.
Yeah, about half of Saudi Arabia's oil production. Saudi Arabia does like 12 or 13% for the world. So that's a relatively... It's not a small amount, but there's still 94% production that was fine yesterday.
And then the third key here are the strategic U.S. oil reserves.
Wow. I hate to boast, but the USA has 600 million barrels of oil.
Just sitting there.
It's like a rainy day fund.
We're talking like on the sideline, the kind of thing where like, you know, a junior varsity player on like your high school lacrosse team is ready to jump in and play for the varsity team.
I love a good sports analogy.
Got called up on there.
Those 600 million barrels, they could have supplied the oil from the downed part in Saudi Arabia for 100 days, if that makes any sense.
It kind of did. I think I'm following on. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in oil?
So this oil outage in Saudi Arabia, it won't be a big deal unless it becomes a really big deal.
Because this conflict, it involves the world's biggest oil producers. In fact, U.S. defense stocks, they rose when this whole thing happened.
So President Trump suspects Iran was behind the attack. Iran is a huge U.S. foe. And then he tweeted that the U.S. is locked and loaded, ready to respond.
So if things devolve further, the U.S. would back its ally, in this case, Saudi Arabia.
And Russia might back its ally, Iran.
Let's go back to our old top 10 list of big oil producers. Four of those countries, all four, are in the top five oil producers in the world.
So if we have a conflict between the U.S., Iran, Russia, and Saudi Arabia,
that would be a big deal.
Nick, Serenity Now.
Seinfeld is coming to Netflix. No more Hulu commercials.
Seinfeld is coming to Netflix.
Worlds are colliding. George is getting upset.
Now, Netflix just signed Seinfeld. That's like getting Saquon Barkley for your fantasy
team. It's like getting T-Swift to headline your show / bat mitzvah.
You want another? Peter Luger catering your graduation dinner.
Or it's like Taylor Swift just doing our snacks intro. She's already a listener. Taylor, why don't you just do it already?
Taylor, at Robinhood Snacks, DMS.
How many times we have to talk
about
this?
Now, Netflix has been under pressure recently because it's losing its most beloved shows to the streaming wars.
Yeah, can we hit these off? Let's start with number one.
The Office.
Exactly.
That is the most popular show on Netflix. It's gone next year.
NBC is taking it back. Number two, Friends.
The number two most popular show on Netflix. It's gone the year after that, 2021.
Because AT&T is taking it back for HBO Max. Number three?
Well, all of Disney's movies and all of Disney's shows.
We've got to watch Coco already, Jay. We've been saying it for like weeks now.
I am dying to watch Coco.
Well, we actually are running out of time because it's getting taken away.
So in November, Disney is taking all of its shows away from Netflix because it's launching Disney Plus, a Netflix competitor.
Notice a theme here?
Yeah, Netflix is losing its shows to its competition.
Because its competition are doing streaming networks.
Yeah, they're doing Netflix killing streaming networks.
So Seinfeld is coming to Netflix in 2021.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that. Not at all. And it will be on Hulu until then with some commercials.
Yes. Hulu is a classic double dipper.
Exactly.
Timmy, you dip the chip and you're done with it.
And you're over. Now, by the way, Hulu had a great feature when they had Seinfeld.
If you wanted to watch a random episode, you could push the yada, yada, yada button.
Boom. Anything comes up.
A random episode.
We loved what they did with that. Now, this is just as telling about the buyer, Netflix, as it is about the company that's actually selling Seinfeld.
Sony.
Exactly.
The only production companies that are still willing to work with Netflix and give up their shows,
they're the ones that don't have streaming networks that are just like Netflix's.
Let's look at the ownership of Seinfeld.
Okay, so you got Sony Pictures Television.
Yes. You got Larry David.
You got Jerry Seinfeld.
And then AT&T actually owns a small part of Seinfeld. Because it bought the production company.
And you don't have the soup Nazi. He didn't get
so
in there.
So Sony doesn't have a streamer, and that's why it's willing to keep working with Netflix.
Now, some interesting thing about Seinfeld. Technically, if you look at the price here, the rights to Seinfeld are a lot bigger than our friends over at Friends and our buddies over at The Office.
So technically, Seinfeld is better than Friends and better than The Office.
And if you think differently, you're probably a close talker.
Yes, but we're going to get some hate at Robin.
Also, wild stat here. Please just sit down and listen to this one.
Since that brutal finale episode in season 9 of Seinfeld.
Jack, I'm listening well.
Seinfeld has made $3 to $5 billion in revenues.
Jack, I am speechless.
Billion with a B.
I am without speech. So, Jack, what is the takeaway for our buddies over at Seinfeld? Netflix.
Cord cutters aren't loyal to streaming networks. They are loyal to sitcoms.
Sitcom reruns have been more valuable lately than they ever have been before.
Look at Netflix's last quarter. It actually lost subscribers in the United States for the first time in a decade.
New shows? Can you name any of them?
I can't.
Because they were duds.
Netflix's new shows were duds. And when people are watching new shows, they get to the end of the season, then they cancel their subscription.
What Netflix leads is something we've referred to before. They need a loyalty leader.
And Seinfeld is the clear loyalty leader.
Jack, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Banya.
For our third and final story, Amazon's secretive A9 team just tweaked its algorithm, and it's betraying one of Amazon's core principles.
Bum, bum, bum.
This was a really good intro like that.
The team is called A9.
Exactly.
So the Wall Street Journal did a ton of reporting. We have to give them full credit for this
story. Now let's talk about what Amazon does, because you may not realize the extent of this.
Half of online sales in America, they start with the Amazon search bar.
We're not just talking about Amazon. We're talking about the greatest piece of digital real estate on the planet.
Yes. When you search for something, the results that come on the very next page, that is crucial, and it can make or break a product.
That's because 2/3 of all purchases come from the very first page of search results on Amazon. And who's looking at anything beyond the first page? No one knows what happens beyond the first page of Amazon.
The second page is if you're looking for an obscure Halloween costume.
Exactly.
So people aren't flipping to page 2.
And then get this, 20% of all Amazon purchases are whatever was number one.
So that number one spot after a search is
Right downtown.
Exactly.
It's got great views of the beach.
On a corner.
It is the best digital real estate in the world.
And a lot of windows with good light. So, Jack, let's move on to the keepers of the search.
The keepers of the search.
The keepers of the search.
This is the highly important, highly powerful team at Amazon that figures out what goes first in
we're talking about the crew that would go to Mordor and get the ring out of there.
This is the only team that Voldemort is afraid of.
If you stare this team in the eye, you don't come back alive.
Gollum responds to this team, no one else.
Definitely one person from that team listening right now who thinks that there may be something wrong with
this. So A9 is the name of this team. They're based in Palo Alto, California.
They're not in Seattle with the rest of Amazon.
And they're called A9 because the word algorithm has 9 letters and it starts with an A.
Now, this used to be a subsidiary of Amazon and they had their own CEO for a while, but here is their big responsibility.
J4... N7, hit me up with the big responsibility.
Here it is. The relevance is in the eye of the customer, and we strive to get the best results for our users, aka they own the search.
So they intentionally separated this team from the rest of Amazon because they need this team to ignore like profit pressures from the rest of the company.
But that means they're also in a position that is ripe for potential corruption.
Imagine like an executive of Nike coming up to this team A9.
A9, how you doing? I'm just in Palo Alto for the weekend.
Hey, I'd really appreciate it if you get my golf clubs to the top of the search results.
Maybe I'll leave an extra pair of golf clubs right here in Palo Alto. How you doing?
There you go.
We'll
or
talk to you
some
later.
Guy in Amazon's retail team that's trying to show good numbers and says, hey, I got this new product. I'm really trying to push it up.
Well, the Wall Street Journal report came out and the A9 website immediately went down because of what just happened.
Now, here is the Wall Street Journal report. Late last year, Amazon changed its 10-year-old algorithm.
Exactly. The most relevant, best-selling stuff, that's what you used to see up there. I would get like books on the history of New York and like some Essie nail polish because my wife uses it.
And showing customers on the first page the most relevant and the best-selling stuff, that is what's best for customers.
Now it's showing products that happen to be maybe more profitable for Amazon at the very top.
Yes. Amazon is giving a bias to the companies that it makes the most profit from.
And those are its 10,000 products that are actually Amazon.
So if you're wondering why you see so many Amazon basic stuff hitting the top of your search results on Amazon,
this algorithm tweak was why.
We thought it was because those were just great products that were great selling.
Every American dorm room has an Amazon Power Surge cord in there.
Turns out they might have got a little bit of extra help by Team A9 through pressure from Seattle.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Amazon?
This algorithm tweak breaks Amazon's cardinal rule, the customer obsession.
First of all, it might even be illegal because Amazon's supposed to be unbiased.
Yeah, antitrust regulators are probably going to look into
this. And a big challenge for Amazon is it has two roles these days. It's both a marketplace for other goods and it's selling its own stuff.
So it has a conflict of interest.
Exactly. But Amazon also has 14 leadership principles, and this happens to break the first one.
We've talked about those principles on this pod. One of them is have a bias for action.
Another one is frugality,
which is classic. Another one is like, if you disagree with something, disagree. But then once the decision is made, commit to it.
It's a long one. It's wordy, but it's one of the principles. But the main one is customer obsession. It's number one.
And this report suggests that Amazon is focusing not on the customer, but on its own profits. This is Jack, and I own stock of Amazon.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
The oil market disruption probably will be just a blip on the radar.
High oil prices are bad for stocks in the short term. War is bad in the long term.
Yes, I hope no war happens.
Yeah, we're hoping on that one.
Second story. Thank you, Snackers, for tolerating our Seinfeld impressions. But Seinfeld is coming to Netflix.
And Netflix is willing to pay over $150 million a year because it needs a loyalty leader.
Third and final story. According to the Wall Street Journal, Amazon isn't showing what's best for customers.
It's showing the best products for Amazon profits because it has the best digital real estate in the country.
Betrayal of principles.
The search bar. Time for our snack fact of the day. We got to have a little ticker off right now.
Yeah, I love ticker symbols on
Snacks. This is a good ticker off.
This is a good one.
Jack just took off his hat. He's kind of rough. Oh, he's rolling his sleeves up over there.
Don't get me stretching.
Okay, all right. I got you. All right, so the ticker symbol T-E-C-H.
Tech.
Tech. Who do you think has it?
Who should have tech?
Who should have tech?
If Mark Zuckerberg IPO'd his body, it'd be tech.
That would be the stock's ticker symbol for Zuck.
Now, Kenny from Oakhurst, California.
Great snacker. Oakhurst, by the way, right near Yosemite, apparently.
Yep. In the heart of California.
He wanted to update us that tech, the ticker symbol, is not used by the consumer-related tech company you may expect it to be.
Right. It's actually the ticker symbol for the company he works for, which is called Biotechna.
Which is a biotech company.
Kind of tech.
Kind of tech, but not
consumer
tech. They make tools and diagnostics for medical industry.
Kenny, we appreciate you reaching out. We loved it. It made us think, thanks to the Snack Fact.
Snackers, this was a good one.
We loved being with you today. You guys look great, by the way.
Happy T-Boy Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
Keep doing what you're doing.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts, who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC, and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only, is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.